Welcome. I'm Danielle Sally.
And I'm Eva Fusaw.
And you're listening to Ghost Boss, stories about the freelance afterlife.
Hey, ghosties.
Hello.
How are you doing, Eva?
I'm good. I'm wearing a t-shirt today. I know it's a podcast, but some of y'all might be watching. I'm wearing a t-shirt today, which is not usually my vibe. And then I show up and Danielle looks like she's like about to like run a board meeting, like in a big fancy corporate room. And I'm in a t-shirt that you can't tell this part on the video, but I did cut the bottom off. So it's a cropped t-shirt.
Of course you did.
Yeah. But the t-shirt is relevant to today's discussion, which is why I wore it. So we'll get to it.
There you go. In my defense, this is very much my, I don't want to wash my hair. I don't want to do my hair. I have tennis after this. So I slicked it back for you. And I put on this lovely black turtleneck, which is my go-to for Zoom meetings. But really, I'm wearing leggings under this so I can head off to my match after. So don't worry. Yeah. Bottom down, I'm matching your vibe.
I don't know. I'm wearing jorts on the bottom. So I don't know.
Okay, fair. Maybe not.
Yeah. Right. But I did wash my hair for this occasion. It was time to wash my hair. So I washed my hair. But I let it like I diffused it today.
Yeah.
For the natural texture to come in. My hair is so big. Remember the day I was mad because it was so flat? Today it's so big. My hair is so
you're
big.
You're really giving us extremes on the podcast this year.
I don't know.
We'll find so anyways, middle ground.
I have decided that I want like some sort of like AI thing to like help me organize because I hate the earth. No, I'm kidding. It's because
as we established.
Yeah, clearly. Because I'm like, God, we use robots for all kinds of stuff. Like surely we can like I can use it as part of like my like workflow to like help me get organized and stuff like that. And I tried a couple different applications and then I tried just getting ChatGPT to do it and I hate them all. I hate them all. So there's two parts to this. Number one, if you're listening and you've got a good like AI assisted organizational project management program that you like that doesn't involve me clicking 1,000 times, like the input isn't super burdensome, I want to hear about it. And number two, part of why I hate it is all the output are Tetris blocks. And so I'm sure you would love it, but I think that's trash because I don't, it stresses me out. I just want them to reprioritize my to-do list every day and like help me like remember like if you're working on a long-term project, you need to work on it this, you know, a little bit every day. I don't want it to like break out. You need to do this for an hour and this for an hour. That's so, it makes me so stressy. I don't like it.
That's fine. The funny thing is I also did that on Friday. I was diving into it. I used ChatGPT and I I named my little custom GPT Scarlet after Miss Scarlet, the one and only. And I gave her a little personality, but I put her in like all the different things that I want her to do for me with mostly admin work, timelines, new business stuff. And so far, Eva, I am a fan. She's my best hire yet.
I don't like mine. And one of the things I had, like you, it hires AI employees for you. And I got so stressed out because it was like, you need to have a training.
I was like, I'm not doing that yet.
Oh my God. I was so stressed out. And so I don't know what I'm still got post-its all over the place is what's happening. And then I just got really impatient. I was like, I don't have time for that. I'm mad. And so I just got going.
I will say I do like it, especially when trying to come up with social captions and things like that.
Oh, because I'm still going to do that.
If I have a writing, so like a writing guide for a client and I can make sure everything's in their voice and it can run by it. I'm like, just gets me sent like leaps and bounds ahead of where I would get on just doing it myself.
You know, something interesting happened to me with ChatGPT this morning. I also use it to like take longer pieces and condense it down to like a social caption or whatever. And the piece that I was working on this morning is a political piece. And I do a lot of political work and I've run all kinds of stuff through it in the past and it's never had a problem. But today it flagged it and said, we cannot process your request because this is not politically neutral. We will not, we have a strict algorithm and we will not like write anything that defends or promotes or it was defends, promotes, or criticizes a specific political party. And then I had a conversation with ChatGPT, because then I was like, is it because I am promoting this party? And they said no, because if you'd written it the other way, we still would have told you no. And then I said, but I've done this stuff before with other work. And they said yes. And your tone previously, because it could look back at like what I'd asked it to do before, they're like, your tone previously was very neutral. And this isn't a neutral post. So we can't help you with a neutral post, with a non-neutral post.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting.
Wow. That is really good to know.
Yeah. I have not named my ChatGPT. I did name my anxiety disorder over the summer. That's fun. His name's Gary.
Maybe it's the same name.
No, his name's Gary. So when I feel myself getting anxious over nothing, I yell, damn it, Gary.
Just made my day, because my daughter goes through phases with names. And right now, almost all of our Halloween decor is named Gary.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. No, my name is Gary. And if you have to envision him, he looks like the Mucinex blobs from the commercials.
That seems right.
That's what there Gary you looks go. Like. Damn it, Gary. I say that when I wake up sometimes.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, Eva, the other thing I've been using Scarlett for is making our episode outlines.
Oh, look at you.
Look at me. But she put her in there to figure out that we're going to talk about design trends today. And I'm going to let you kind of lead this discussion for the most part. Scarlett didn't say to, but I'm going to go on a whim and have you lead it, because you are also wearing a shirt today that I think influenced why this should be a topic.
Yeah. And specifically, these are design trends that Danielle and I use a lot. So they may or may not be design trends that like everybody else is doing, but there are things that we're doing right now, like things that like,
we're probably not going to talk about the fact that everything's orange, green, and glitter right now. That might not be our aesthetic.
Oh, yeah. No, it is not. I had to think. I was like, I'm not doing that right now. I'm not doing that right now.
I like that you're like, what is that about?
Yeah, it took me a second. I'm not the target demo for that.
No, I would say that.
Ton. But yeah, so I just some things that we and have like personally just always end up gravitating towards. And what made me think of it is, number one, my shirt that I'm gonna talk about in a second. But number two, when we talked one episode, we talked about something and you said, like, I use a lot of pink in a lot of my designs, for somebody who doesn't like wear a lot of pink. And so that's really what I want to talk about. Like, what are things that you find yourself gravitating towards, or what are things that I find myself gravitating towards?
Sure.
So number one, my favorite font right now is this font called Monologue, and it's on my shirt. It's on my shirt right there.
There you go.
And I also used it on the Arts and Drafts collateral that I did for the Columbia Museum of Art back in November.
Yeah.
So I like it because it lets me do these fun little shapes, like putting different. Yeah. And like with the line. And so like I know how to manually do that. Mm-hmm. And because some of y'all can't see, it's like stacking letters on top of each other. So the font's like long and skinny, and then you can stack letters on top of each other. And if you want to see specifically what I'm talking about, go to the AAF Midlands website, because the shirt that I'm wearing is a design I did for them for a fundraiser. And so I can manually do that, but I love that it's already built into it. And sometimes they put
makes
little
it
like
so much
lines.
Nicer.
Oh my God. It's so good, because I get to try out so many different things. So that's a font that I'm currently obsessed with. I also in this, overlapped a lot of the design pieces to mimic what like old school like letter pressing and screen printing looked like. So I specifically tried to overlap the colors, and then crossed my fingers that they could reproduce that when they printed. They could in everything but the hat, like, because it got just too small to embroider.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of making digital stuff look like it wasn't made in a digital space right now. And I'm also obsessed with a gradient. I'm a stick a gradient on anything
that was on my
still.
List.
I'm gonna stick a gradient on it. I love a gradient. I love all kind, and I don't like just a linear gradient. And if we're gonna do it, we're gonna move it over to the edge, so it's a little bit more interesting. I'm not talking a 90s gradient. I'm gonna open Illustrator, and I can't remember which button it is, but it's one, and you get to put like different points of a gradient. You get to make a crazy gradient. I love a gradient. I love a gradient right now. So those are my top three. I got more, but why don't you tell me about how you love gradient?
Well, gradient was one of mine. To the point, it's almost everything. I love it.
And even it's constant.
Even if it's like a subtle gradient, like a navy to a different shade of blue, just to add some depth. I love it. My background I put as a gradient today. If you're watching on YouTube, like I love, like even in this stuff, I love it. But what I'm really obsessed with, and a lot of this, if you saw my Halloween website from 2024, I put a bunch of trends that I love on there because I do this Halloween project. I started doing it every year, and it's kind of a chance for me to try out the trends that I really like and put it all into one application if it's possible. But I put gradients in there. I love any type of subtle scrolling animation, just any kind of slight movement. I also put this all over our Ghost Boss website too. I got the subtle animations. I got the gradients going. But the other thing that I'm obsessed with, Eva, I like have to stop adding it to everything. I love adding a noise texture. Just subtle, not a lot.
I do it too. Yeah, obsessed. I do it too at like a 10% opacity where you can barely see it. Yes, and I have some favorite ones. I either want like a really grungy, like really like distressed one to like really kind of make it feel roughed up and like make it feel not digital. Or for a lot of my corporate work, I like the weird abstract lines that make like some odd shapes. And I like to wiggle them around. And then recently I've been doing a gradient on the shape in an opacity because I'm
wild.
Wild. Because I can do what I want because ain't nobody here to tell me no. And I do it. I do it.
No, we're going to gradient the hell out of it.
I'm going to gradient everything. I'm about to go back to get my hair done as an ombre because that's a gradient on my head. It was great. It's great.
I love it.
Yeah. Do you have any fonts that like you're obsessed with right now?
I have some go-tos that I stick to. I got to stop for like default fonts. Like if I have a sans serif, I keep gravitating towards Poppins and I got to stop. Why am I so obsessed with Poppins?
I was like, is she going to say Poppins to me?
She's going to say Poppins. I'm up, like to the point. I'm going to switch out my brand body copy to be Poppins. Why not? It's my company. And I picked my headline font to be Playfair solely because I'm obsessed with the ampersand.
Legit. Oh, a good ampersand?
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll pick a font around an ampersand.
That's my decision on a font.
I also sometimes have to pick a font if it has an apostrophe, because every now and then you go and get one like a custom font from somewhere.
Yeah.
And it won't have an apostrophe. And I was like, well, now what am I supposed to do? And it's fine if I'm making like a logo out of it because I can lift an apostrophe from somewhere else if I need it. Right. But it's not going to work as like a brand font or anything that I'm typesetting big chunks of or even headlines. So I'm like, there might be an apostrophe somewhere and I'm not going to hand set all of this. No.
I've had also too when if I get a font and they don't have an italic, like you're done. I'm out of unless it's like very specific usage of it and I don't need the italic, that's fine. But if it's gonna be body copy, I once got so far down a project before I realized it didn't have an italic. In this case, it needed an italic. And I had to go back and completely pick a different font because it didn't have an italic. So frustrating.
So you find that a lot, actually. Like a lot. A lot of fonts will come in.
A surprising amount.
Yeah, a lot. I don't love an italic in a sans serif font. And so.
Yeah.
Because it's because of the angles of the font that a lot of the italics like I don't know. They look a little drunk. It's just like they about to fall over.
They're just a little leaning over.
Just like, woo!
Whereas, can't stand up straight.
Right. Whereas like an italic on a serif, I actually think is beautiful. And I will use more italics in the design. If we're not talking about like body, like setting body copy where there's certain reasons to italicize. Like if I'm just the aesthetics of it. If I'm using a serif font, I will add more like stylized italic spaces. Because yes. I think it's the way the curvature of the serif like makes my eye want to move that way anyways. And so the italics just really like emphasize that. Whereas
it's with the far more intentional.
Yeah.
So good.
I have a font that I try to work into any female owned businesses when I work on their brands.
What font is this?
Do you know? Do you want to guess?
No, I don't want to guess.
Oh.
I feel like Mrs. you're going to say it, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's Mrs. Eves.
Oh, of course. Of course. Right?
Do you know the story of Mrs. Eves? I'm going to tell it for the audience, but do you know the story?
You've shared it with me before, but go ahead and share it with the audience. Because I can't remember if you told me or told our ghosties.
I don't know. I didn't tell the ghosties, but also... Nikki Villagomez, when she came and spoke at AAF a couple years ago, she told the story too.
That's it.
You've probably heard it from her.
Yep.
And I'm paraphrasing a bit. So if I get the dates wrong or something, or if I mess up how many kids she has, don't yell at me. Okay.
I hope they come after you.
No. I don't try it today. It's Monday. I don't try me. Try me. So everybody or most people are familiar with Baskerville as a font. So Baskerville. Was named after John Baskerville, who was a typographer and a printmaker in late 1700s, if I'm not mistaken, 1790s, around that era. If I'm wrong, don't at me, okay?
Close I'm not going to correct you. So someone in the comment section can.
If it was 1810, close enough, man. Anyways, a long time ago. I do know he lived in England. I got that part. And so he... developed Baskerville, and everybody knows about that. So he also had a partner in his business, a woman who helped him in his shop. And then eventually she became a widow. She had 5 children and they end up getting married. And she was also a printmaker and a typographer. And her name was Sarah Eves. And so they worked together and they raised their kids and she did all of this work. So skip ahead to the 90s where everybody and their mama was making some form of Helvetica. We all took a class on Bauhaus and got real excited and just wanted to cut the serifs off anything and everything we saw.
Yep.
It was madness. And so I believe it was 1995, there was a designer that I cannot pronounce her name, especially if I'm not looking at it. So I'm not even going to try. But there was a female designer.
just
look it up. There was a female designer who decided that she wanted to make a more elevated and beautiful version of Baskerville. And so she developed this font called Mrs. Eves. And it's called that because everybody always said that Sarah was the more refined and beautiful version of John. And so Mrs. Eves is a more refined and beautiful version of Baskerville. So anytime I work with like a female owned company, I try to work it into their font or into their brand. And it doesn't always make sense as body copy. So it might just be pulling like the ampersand out, or it might be pulling like a comma, right? If there wasn't a comma or an apostrophe. But so go look
it's like
up
you're
the
dropping
of
little
Eves.
Easter eggs of Mrs. Eves all over.
Yeah, I love it. And I love telling this story. And it's a cool story. So go read it. Don't fact check. I mean, fact check me, but like, don't yell at me. I'm running off memory here, guys. But it's a cool story.
We can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love Mrs. Eves. It's so good.
I love it.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. When you're trying to find new trends or inspiration, where do you find you go to the most? Is there a certain spot or is there a variety of places that you look for inspiration?
Yeah, I used to go on Pinterest a lot and Pinterest has gotten a little dodgy. Like there's still some stuff on there, but they don't have good protections against AI. So I can't tell, and I don't know. It gets a little mixed up. I still go to Instagram, man. Like tried and true.
Same.
I'll just go poke around Instagram, look at stuff that I've liked, look at stuff like in the trending bar. And then honestly, like, I do so much stuff in Canva for clients so they can pick up the templates behind me and work on them. Canva's got some cool looking stuff. Like, I'm not mad at a Canva vibe.
I know. So, I was just talking to someone who has a PR background today about how my transition of feelings with Canva, how, because when I first, when it first came out, and you and I have had this conversation, like, I don't want to have to go in there and like, it's not the program I work in. And then fast forward a year, 2 years. Now I'm like, you know, if it makes my life easier that they can make all their social templates and I don't have to.
Yeah.
And then truthfully, they have some nice templates to get people started. Yeah. Not everyone needs this fully custom design.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at it.
all my personal presentations that I do are in Canva.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of PowerPoint, because I don't like PowerPoint. So I do them in Canva.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. I tried to do some in Figma recently, but the only thing with Figma's presentations, they're not bad. It's just I hate that I can't get rid of the toolbar at the top. I want it to go full screen, and I don't. Maybe there's a way, and I'm just missing it. But maybe I'll check out Canva for my presentations.
I like it. Now the only thing is, like, I did have to download it into a PowerPoint because I thought I was going to have to merge my slides with another group's slides. And none of the animations come with it. Now, all I did was just redo the animations in PowerPoint, which was fine. And now that I know that, I just won't do any animations in Canva to begin with. But I like it. Like, I built like gradients and all kinds of stuff. And I like how it suggests the color palettes. And so, like, yeah, I use that a lot for inspiration. And then I use this website called Creative Market, and you can buy all kinds of stuff on there, fonts and pictures and mock-ups and all that kind of stuff. And I like poking around there for inspiration just because, like, it's some cool stuff. And sometimes I buy it, like, I just buy it wholesale if that's what I need to do and chop it up and do what I gotta do. And sometimes I don't, but their algorithm is really, their suggested thing at the bottom is really good. So, like, if you click on something, what's below it is probably like a good direction to run in. And that's not always the case. Like, sometimes my stock sites, when I'm looking around, I'm like, what was that?
Like, what did you think I was searching for?
Yeah. So those are like my big three.
Yeah. Another one I look at, have you ever used Envato? I think it's how you say it. I don't know. I think it's very, very similar to Creative Market. But that's one that I've used. I like them a lot for mock-ups and things like that as well. But I don't know what it is. I never got into Pinterest. And I realize, like, for some people, it's fantastic. But I think I kind of been using Instagram, like how some people would use Pinterest. And so, like, I save things to different collections. And so I might save things for design inspo, and I might save things for social inspo and different things like that. I have all these different collections set up on my Instagram. And so that's usually how I can save them. But what I really enjoy, Eva, are the designers that do those tutorial videos. And it's like beginner, pro, and they do it. And I'm like, I've been doing this for 20 some years at this point. And they come up with stuff that I just haven't seen before. I'm like, wow, that's a way smarter way to do something. So sometimes I save those videos of how they're applying these shapes or things like that. And I save those videos and then I go back to try it just so I can have a new trick up my sleeves. And I'm like, this is so cool. Have you not seen those?
No, I have, but you watch design videos in your downtime?
No, just as I'm scrolling through, they come up and then it catches my interest. It stops the scroll. And then I'm watching these people make logos for fun.
No, they don't come up on mine. I'm following a donkey named Henry right now. He gets donuts on Saturday and it's real cute.
Be fair, my personal Instagram algorithm looks nothing like my business Instagram algorithm.
How much do you think I'm on my professional Instagram account?
You've posted quite a few things recently, and I was so proud of you.
I know.
You're getting better.
No, I don't ever see the videos, but
I imagine, though, you don't have
much of an algorithm on there.
I do not. But yeah, Pinterest, 80% of my boards used to be work projects.
Oh, yeah?
Like, yeah. I had one giant design, like, inspo folder, but I'd go, like, they were labeled by project because I was searching for inspiration for projects.
That's cool.
And then you can lock them so nobody could see them, so the client can't, like, see what I'm up to.
Oh, yeah. I know. Everything's private.
Yeah. And it's helpful because, like, I got a new project last week, and they have a Pinterest board going, so they invited me to it, so I can see, like, what they're up to. It's a cool concept. It's going to be, like, elevated big top, like, elevated circus, elevated carnival. So
nice.
I'm excited to work on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So I know we kind of talked about this, but when do you like to, how do you know when it's a good time to test out a trend, especially when it's a client project? Like, what are the signs, especially for our younger designers listening? Sometimes when you're younger, you want to put the trendy stuff on everything. But Eva, how would you know when it's appropriate to try out a new trend?
I just do it. I feel like I'm old. And if it's made its way to me, like, I'm a cool old, but I'm an old. And so if it's made its way to me, I don't know, maybe, but actually, let me retract that. I don't know. I'm going to stand on business on that statement. But follow up, if it's made it to Instagram, then I can try it. If I've only seen it on TikTok, it might be too niche. But if it's made it to Instagram, it's safe. If it's made it to Facebook, I'm not doing it because now it's played out. Yeah.
Yeah. You do more social than I do. Ugh. Do you have any clients that, one thing that drives me crazy with social is the amount of people that will jump on a trend so quickly, and like all these extremely horizontal videos on Instagram that were coming up, and everyone started pushing them out all on there. Do you have any clients that are like, and as soon as something trends, you got to get something out for us?
Mm-mm.
I don't either. No.
I don't have anybody in that space. A little bit when I do political work, if we're in an active campaign, but even then you gotta be a little careful. But like when I explain to people like trends, I'm like, it's tricky because like I'm always impressed with brands, like big corporate brands that I see get on a trend, because I just think about how fast that had to get approved. Yep. Even if it's just like shot with a phone, or shot in a way to make it look like it was shot with a phone. Like, I'm not even necessarily impressed with production, because realistically, it should look like you shot it with a phone and just uploaded it, right? Like, that's the whole vibe for a lot of these trends. But the number of hurdles that I know you had to go through for approval, because trends come and go in a week, sometimes less time. And so somebody's got to see it, identify it, adapt it for its brand, get it through their approval process, potentially get it for the client if they're not working in-house. So anytime I see a corporate client like do a brand like or do a trend like really fast, I'm always impressed. Most of the time, unfortunately, I see them when the trend is over. I'm like, oh. Yeah, but then like,
same. I'm so behind.
But then like if they get too trendy, like this is a thing that like this has been around for months with like younger people. But like if I were to say to my mom 6'7", like that doesn't mean anything to her. And that's old. That's been around for months. That don't mean anything to her. Right? But that means something to my son. So it's a whole how trendy do you want to get? And then are you just doing the dances? Right. Are you gonna learn the cat's eye dance?
No.
Your CEO is gonna do that. Well, you can't now because that was like more than a month ago. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No idea. Also, part of my issue is while I have a TikTok account, I never get on it because I have not. I have yet to get over that hurdle of being extremely overwhelmed by the content on TikTok. Like I get anxiety that it's just like coming at me so much. I don't know why. It's not that much different than Instagram. I get overwhelmed. Actually, I think it's because Instagram, I have built up algorithms and different algorithms depending on my account. And I don't have that yet on TikTok. Yeah. So right now it's just random content. And maybe if I used it more, I'll fine tune it a bit. I just need Ghost and Housewives, and then I'll be happy again.
All you have to do is watch those, but you don't even have to like them. Like sometimes, like I'll horror watch a show, like something on TikTok. Like I'm just like it showed up on my feed, and I'm just watching it because like what is it? Like I'm just like gawking at it, and then the algorithm thinks that I like it. I didn't comment, I didn't like it, I didn't save it, but I hung around on it too much, and so then I have to teach the algorithm that I don't like it. But coming back to the Cat's Eye Dance, it's the milkshake from the Gap ad. That's the Cat's Eye Dance.
The milkshake from the Gap ad. Is any of this on Instagram? What are you talking about?
You don't know about the Gap ad?
The one... Wait. No, I guess. Do I?
Do you know about the Sydney Sweeney ad?
Yes.
Okay. So that was the whole thing. No, that is not the Gap ad. She did an ad
for American Eagle. I don't even remember.
She did, and there was a lot of pushback on it.
Oh, Gap did
With Cat's Eye.
Yes.
So the milkshake
took me a while to get there.
And they do a dance. They do. I can't do the whole thing, especially since I'm wearing shorts. I should not. But yeah, that's what I'm talking about. No. That's what I'm talking about. The Gap, the Cat's Eye Dance, and the Gap ad with milkshake. Duh.
Obviously. I hope my daughter's listening to this from the other room, be like, geez, Mom, you're such an embarrassment.
Right? I'm like, how do you not know what that is? That Gap ad.
You know what's going to suck, Eva, is I'm going to get off of here and then I'm going to look it up. And I was like, damn it, I did know what that was. But now it's recorded that I don't know what it is. And I'm going to be made fun of on YouTube or whatever we're on. Man, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Have at it. But if you do that, you got to make fun of Eva for not knowing what your Baskerville was.
But not for not knowing what?
What your Baskerville
was. Like the specifics. Yeah. I think it was the 1790s. But yeah, the Cat's Eye ad or the Cat's Eye dance.
I will say I'm glad we have not made that hurdle on our social that we feel like we have to dance all the time.
You,
I don't think
you
I could
made
do it.
Me dance. You made me dance
one
to
time.
Something about
it wasn't
Wicked
a dance, though. It was just kind of an acting, if you will.
Well, I've never seen Wicked, so I don't know what I was doing.
You've never seen Wicked?
No, I'm all right.
What?
It's fine.
How? Okay,
what
no,
mean, how?
I can't. My Broadway
what do you mean,
mind
how?
Is like, what do you mean?
What do you
mean,
not how?
Even in theaters? Nothing?
What do you mean in I gotta go to the no!
What?
No.
I'm glad that my facial reaction is recorded for all of this. I am
there
shocked.
Anything else I should have seen that you want to yell at me about now that we're
I don't know. I'm just gonna make a list of my favorite Broadway shows and see which ones you've seen.
I've seen none of them. I've seen
on theater or movies. And I'm just
I've seen the Book of Mormon.
So upset. That's a good one.
I saw Cats when I was like 11.
Okay, well that seems right up your alley.
That might be it. Somebody made a West Side Story joke to me the other day about the Jets and it gets better. About the Jets and the Sharks, and I said, "Is that a sports thing?" Because I don't think you're talking about aquatic mammals and aircrafts. And then I started talking about my kid playing sports. And then this person, after a whole minute, even better, it's in text message, was like, it's a West Side Story reference. And I was like, well.
I'm a musical theater kid. I don't know about these sports you speak of.
Well, then he goes, I was like, are you a theater kid? And he's like, no. And I was like, oh, well.
I just love
never
the arts.
I've never seen West Side Story. I don't know.
I feel like, though, you don't need to even see West Side Story to know about the Jets. No?
No.
No reference.
Oh, I had
at
no
all.
Idea. No. And like, and then when he said it, it didn't ring any bells. It's kind of like Romeo and Juliet, but like set in New York City, right? That's kind of the vibe.
Yeah, but you know, like the snapping. Nothing. A snapper. Nothing. Huh. Okay. All right. Well, I guess we won't do an episode on Broadway favorites.
No, like what else would
that's
I see?
A little
see?
Disappointing, Eva.
I mean, like the thing is I do like theater. Like I go to Trustus a lot. I love the local theater. I actually do like theater. I don't know what I never watched Glee. Like musicals just aren't, I don't
know. It's the musical side of you.
Yeah.
Whereas like if I'm going to Broadway, I really want it to be a musical more than anything. I need singing involved.
No. I want to go to a concert or a show, or I want to go to a play. I don't want both.
This is why we've never done the same things together.
I want them opposite. I want them separated. I mean, I'll go to... Oh, I've been to Rocky Horror. Does that count?
Yeah, we'll count that. Why not? Right.
I've been to Rocky Horror. Singing involved. Yeah. I can't think of any other musical. I can't.
Wow.
What's another big one that
Sound
I should
of
know?
Music?
Oh, no, that's
the
definitely
Lion
not.
The Lion King?
I saw the cartoon.
Okay. Well, we'll just end that conversation there.
I'm not sorry. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know
man.
What you want for me. So, anyhow. Oh, hold on. There is another musical. I've seen Grease. I've seen the movie.
Oh, good for you, Eva.
We're talking about musicals. And isn't that like a big one that y'all talk about?
Isn't that? Y'all, you musical theater lovers, you.
Yeah. Isn't that a big one?
Fair. You can group all of us together. We all
that
love
was
it.
An important one. I wanted credit.
Okay, good. I'm glad I will give you your credit for that one. Good job.
Thank you.
Wait,
thank
one or you. Two, though? Which one? Mm. Both? Just one?
No.
Do you know there's two?
I did know there's two, but I always assume the sequel isn't good.
It was not as good as the original.
Yeah, I always just assume the sequel's not good, so I don't watch it unless somebody comes and tells me this sequel was really good.
You want a hot take that I don't know, admitting it on this podcast. I don't know. We'll see who comes at me. I liked Hocus Pocus 2 more than Hocus Pocus.
I didn't see the second Hocus Pocus.
It's just so good. It's so good. Okay. So that's like my one case where like sometimes the sequel can be better.
It was so Adam's good. Adam's Family. The second one was better than the first one when she goes to camp.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad we can prove ourselves wrong before we sign off for the day.
I just wanted my credit since I don't know the Sharks versus the Jets.
We'll give you points.
Mean?
You know
I
what?
Don't
I will
know.
Say
I don't care.
I'm glad you knew the Sharks had a football team. No, that's the Jets. All right. And with
the
that,
San Jose
everyone,
Sharks
thank you.
Is a hockey team. I'm not good at it. Look, let me tell you something. I don't do sports. I go to sporting things because I like to talk to people and yell and eat snacks. I don't know what's happening. Yeah. I don't watch football alone because I don't know what we're doing, but I watch it around people.
Yeah. Well, it's a socializing event.
It is.
That's what they're for.
It is.
And with that, thank you for listening, everyone. Listen to us ramble and about our fate. We had a lot of similar design trends that we're both into. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Makes sense.
I like that. And we talked about design stuff today because sometimes we get feedback that we don't talk about enough design stuff. So we did. And then I sidetracked on my lack of musical theater knowledge. So it's still an episode,
guys. Needed to talk about that. There was no getting around it, Eva. You know, you're usually the judgier one. I need a judgment for a second.
You can judge me. I don't care. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not watching. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it. It's fine.
Oh, I love it.
It's fine. So, all right. Well, that's all we have for today.
We'll talk to you next time.
See you next time, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Remember to follow us on Instagram @GhostBossPodcast. And also please like and review us on your favorite podcast app.